Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When we last left off with our friend Jeff Worley, guitar player extraordinaire and all around super genius, he had just regaled us with 45 minutes. And the best part about Jeff is, even if I know the story, I still love hearing him because he's such a great storyteller. That dude, that's his gift. Like, he is... He's not just an incredible musician, an incredible player, but he tells the greatest stories in the world because he lives them as deeply and as completely as you possibly can.
And 45 minutes felt like 2 minutes. Like, when he had to go, you're like, wait, whoa, what?
So he wrote this book, and it's called No Filter, Stories Better Left Untold. This is just the first part, and it's available. You can get it on Amazon. It just goes and goes, and it talks about everything from getting high with Justin Timberlake, to being at Kid Rock's house.
Bieber was, and he was with Bieber too, right?
I think he did party. I know for sure it was Timberlake and Cameron Diaz.
so good.
There's a never ending story. I mean, never ending stories with this cat. The new album's out, Rauco, by the way. And it's fantastic. If you haven't picked it up, like, some of my favorite stuff, I like this a lot. Not a single, but I wish it was, because this is probably my favorite song on the whole record.
Everybody come to party. A time bomb ticks till it's time to blow.
That's the new record. You guys, what do you do with the other 22 hours of the day that you're not on stage? Well, if you're Jeff Worley, it's live, and you live in a way that most people can't fathom. Are you at the compound, the Worley compound?
I'm at the Worley compound, right dead center of it.
You are. How many acres is that?
Me and my brother have 100 each. Well, I have 99.8. Chris has over 100, so I'm pissed. I'm going to sue him. that's how my dad left it. I think I owed my dad like $500 if he just put it that way. So everything, it's just me and my brother, so we've always... We're the only kids I know that when I had a birthday, Chris cried and he got a birthday present too. we're down here in 100 acres in beautiful South Carolina. It's paradise is what we call it.
Look, you don't want others.
Do what now?
You don't want others out there. You don't let anybody else to move out there.
No. My son is the closest one, and I keep him about a mile away. Just close enough to be able to look at him. See what's going on at his house, and far enough away so he's too lazy to come down and ask for money. But man, let me tell you something funny. You're talking about the new record.
Yeah.
After all these years, Jesse actually called us down when it got to the point where he was ready. He had some lyrics written, and he was all in a huff about something because that's the way it is. And yeah. We actually had a meeting, and he was telling us, he was speaking out and letting us know what the lyrics and the idea of these lyrics and these songs, like Just Because I'm Drunk and Limp Dick and all of that. And we were listening to his, because he was giving us a test that this is too much for you, like it would be too much for us after all these years, right?
Right.
And we were singing something that got to the song when he said foreskin. Yeah. And me and Chris were on the look at each other saying, is he saying foreskin? Like, a man's freaking foreskin? I still have no idea what he's talking about, but I went, brilliant! As long as it's foreskins and hating people and talking about lipsticks, and it's right up our alley, so get going. And he did an incredible job on those lyrics and the vocals. It's incredible.
Well, dude, look, it probably is the most... it's definitely the angriest, and it's the most direct internal look at a lot of stuff and what's going on in Jesse's life. And you and I both know what the songs are about. And he just, sometimes you got to get it out. Otherwise, it'll fester up inside you.
Oh yeah, and that's what we like. Cause when me and Chris and Roman, when we put everything into every record, and Jesse, he sleeps under the mixing board. We have to tell him enough's a freaking enough.
Yeah.
Right. But. We put everything into it, but this one came out of a whole place, because we make no mistakes. I know what the worth of a record is today. People download, but we did it because the songs meant that much, and it was going to be exciting to play. We're already playing three, and the record just came out, a week and a half ago, so we're going to be looking at, besides the first record, probably going to be playing four or five songs off this record, which is a lot of songs off of the new record when you're already doing a career's look at tunes.
Yeah.
Our show's 2 hours long.
Well, sometimes it's two. Sometimes it goes two and a half, maybe three. The same amount of songs, but different time.
Well, the funny thing is the contract says Jackal's set will be anywhere between 30 minutes and 3 hours.
Depending on how much Jesse has to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Just so you know. It could be three. So if you pay us, that's what you're going to get. But no, we put a lot of stuff in that contract just to get noticed to make sure they're reading it. But we give the fans more than every night. I can't walk the next morning, but I got no choice.
Well, listen, anybody upset about this book, anybody in the book or any stories you've told got you in any trouble yet?
Well, yes. Amazon called me, and I've got nothing but 5-star reviews, but they've had to keep, get ready for this. This happened day before yesterday. I'm having reviews sent in from people, but they started mentioning the word, of all things, Dirty Sanchez.
Somebody's mad about the Dirty Sanchez.
For some reason, Amazon draws the line at Dirty Sanchez.
Which, if those of you don't know, well, actually, I don't even explain it. I everybody knows what Dirty Sanchez is.
Yes, because in my book, I refer to a kid I grew up with. He was literally the Billy the Kid of Dirty Sanchez. I mean, he could whoop both up out like pistols and shoot you across your top lip before you could even blink. So, apparently, people have read some of that, and one guy wrote in that it brought him back to his childhood. He wanted to go to work and give all his employees Dirty Sanchez. Well, you know, at 40 years old in a workplace, you know, is that considered terrorism?
I'd say that's just the way. It depends on where you work, right? I mean, let's face it, where you work,
where y'all at?
Where you work, it would be in another place to give an employee, I don't know, 40 shots of alcohol and almost kill him. Would be considered a bad thing. In your world, you're the cure. He'll never drink again.
Well, it was 48 shots. It's yep. Handyman. He used to work for us. He's standing in my front yard right now, of all things.
What the hell's he doing? Why is he there?
He's working on my house.
Now,
it's part of his therapy.
Now, I've had discussions with Jeff Worley about everything from aliens to governments to the Illuminati to his, and this is a whole nother subject, and I don't know how far you want to talk about it, but your family, it's not like you're the first one to embrace the insanity inside you. You're everything from blood relatives to pirates, real-life pirates, to was your grandfather who was down, was he in El Salvador, Nicaragua, in the Banana Wars?
Oh, yeah, we're working, the book came out, I had to get the book out because that's really taken over a lot of that screenplay. I've got a killer writer, and I'm really excited about that. Yeah, my grandfather's thing. But, yeah, Richard Worley the Pirate, as a matter of fact, my company's Worley the Pirate Productions now. Thanks to you, Johnny. Connecting the dots. I won't put that on all my stuff, and now that kind of explains the way me and my brother are, you know. Our family is inherently not, I wouldn't say wild, but, you know, I mean.
I would. No, I would. I without a doubt would. Let me tell you guys, you understand, like Jimmy Stiff, the original guitar player in Jackal, was a kid who was kind of abused, and that came from a bad childhood, right? And then your mom and dad took him in. And you guys just decided one day, you just goddamn rednecks in Carolina, just decided one day you were just going to go ahead and create a platinum-selling rock band, and I'll be damned if you didn't.
Yeah, you know, it's like, it's just determination, but I didn't have no, we were so stupid, that's stupid, because I should have thought, I never knew how much I'd be up against, I thought it was easy, so it's just a test to my ignorance. That you can, you know, sometimes ignorance is bliss, and better just go forward and don't think too much about it, you know. But the book gives an insight into what it's been like, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. But, it, you know, we talked before, it's been like Freddie Mercury said, it's been no bed of roses, but, you know, I don't regret a thing, man, because I've met great people. Like, you know, if we never met, I've never met you.
Well, I don't know if that's a good thing.
And good for me. We don't have a lot of people that always come back to visit. Johnny, you always come back to visit.
Are you kidding me? I love you. I could not love you. Guys couldn't be closer brothers to me. And I love the stories because some I've heard, some I haven't. Like you know, touring with Aerosmith. I mean, you think about these kids growing up in you know, rural, the South, man. And one day you realize you're on a world tour with Aerosmith, the greatest American rock and roll band. And at one point, you also realize that your lead singer is now jumping off the stage to literally kill the sound man for Aerosmith.
Yeah. Now, to make matters worse, what's not in there is the not just he did that. On these big tours, all you kids out there, listen. On the big tours, you know, most of the time, and I say big, I mean arena and stadium, the road crews for these big bands think they're rock stars. So they treat the open bands like crap.
Right.
Because that's kind of what we were getting. You know, Aerosmith stage was as big as a football field, and we got the last 3 inches, right?
Right.
And Aerosmith never knew nothing about it because they live in a bubble. That's actually what I've been trying. I want to live in the bubble they live in, so I don't know whatever's going on around me. Just point me towards the stage, but I'm not there yet, right? They live in a bubble, so when we finally told them what was going on, they straightened everybody out, you know, except for the sound man who kept cutting the volume down on us and cutting it off. Yes, and Jesse, of course, you know that story, jumped off the stage, chased him. It was a thing in Cleveland. The funny part was the spotlights followed him up the aisles. It was great. The spotlight guys finally did their job for the first time while we were playing. Paul and Jesse chasing a guy through the dance arena.
He literally warned him in front of a sold-out crowd, if you do it one more time, I swear to God. And the guy did it, and he came off in a dead run. It was Gund Arena, or Mund, was it Mund or Gund Arena in somewhere in Ohio, I think, because I found a flyer for it.
Yeah.
And he literally tried to physically kill one of the crew members in front of an entire 18,000-person sold-out show. Yeah.
And it wasn't a show, dude. It was because he was, and there's the reason, he was compromising our show. And if it wouldn't have been Jesse, it would have been Chris. Because I don't know one sound from the other as far as going to the PA, but they know when it's not working. And it would have been one of them. And it was just, he did what any normal red-blooded American man would do. If you're compromising, some of these people come to see us, you know. And why are you taking it on yourself to cut it down? You know, it was a tense moment. But what made it worse was the next night when we came out of a arena show in Pittsburgh, and outside the amphitheater was a cesspool, like a trick water treatment plant. And my buddy Virgil had come from Fort Benning, and he had a half a stick of dynamite with him. And we threw it out the window into the cesspool, and as our bus drove off, it blew poof into the air about 400 feet. So the next day, we're in our dressing room, and Tim Collins, Aerosmith's manager, comes, and a couple of guys in suits now, comes to our dressing room and says, Jesse, we need to talk to you. And they took him in, and that's when they got up. We all listened at the door, you know. We had our ears to the door. People were going, what's going on? I could hear it going on. And I remember the one thing Aerosmith's manager told Jesse, now, man, I understand that you got upset about the PA system. And I can understand that. You can't be threatening our crew now, but now, throwing sticks of dynamite, we can't have that. We promise we won't do it again. And from then on, but come to find out, the band, especially Joe Perry, was like, yeah, now we talking. I've been waiting on a band like this to come along for years. Because they was living vicariously through us. You know? Kind of, because we were out there being wild, you know, until one night when, I think it was either Gene Simmons or Stephen Powder, one of them said, all that stuff you guys are doing to try to get into the rock and roll record books, well, nobody really did all that. It's like, and it's like, oh my God, we're going too far.
Yeah, but people don't realize that there is no too far for you guys. I mean, the amount of lawsuits that, the first million the whole band made went to the people at Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me. we've lost more money than most bands will ever make.
Yeah, well, people don't get it.
You know,
they don't understand.
It was an education.
What I was going to tell you is they don't understand is that you guys are as real as it gets. Like if someone in your band says I'm gonna whip your ass, that's not an empty threat. If somebody says I'm gonna F your girlfriend, it's not an empty statement. It's what will happen by the end of the night.
Yeah, unfortunately and fortunately, we keep our word, you know. That's just because how we were raised, man, because we don't go into nothing we've ever done altercation-wise, you know. That Longhorn Steakhouse thing, like I say, was, we were young and stupid, but we thought, you know, the video director, everything was set up, you know. But, of course, when the hammer fell, it fell right on us.
Right.
So, you know, and because we had a hit song, they had to keep the song going, so it kind of was a vicious circle that they just charged all that back to us. So we're kind of like, well, basically Wayne Newton.
What?
Wayne, okay, what? Get ready for this. You know Wayne Newton right now is so in debt that he plays for the casino he plays for, and he basically works for free, and he has to work until he dies playing two shows 6 days a week. To live his lifestyle, they're going to keep it going, but he's in like, he's like works for the man. Believe it or not. So we're kind of like that. We just continually play, but now we've worked our way out of it, you know, but it took 15 years to recover from all that.
Well, and let me tell you something. It doesn't just cover million-dollar lawsuits and record labels. It covers double handfuls of pubic hair with Virgil.
Oh, yeah.
Share yeah, that
you can
one.
A lot of stuff, you can do a lot of stuff with pubic hair. You can spread it on a pizza. You, of course, can put it in the reed of a saxophone. It goes great on ice cream.
Yeah.
It's how you get people back. It's in the revenge section.
There's an entire section in the book called Revenge.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.